This is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schotter. And this is such a good and useful episode, Teen Skin. The what, the how, the why, obviously with a big focus on spots and breakouts. But also a focus on current trends. And please have your teenager listen, even if just for advice like this.
Children's skin just doesn't need active ingredients.
And I think teens will have parents listening for advice like this.
I don't believe that persistent spots are just a normal part of teenage life.
Dr. Sophie has packed this episode with loads of budget-friendly tips.
There's a brilliant brand that I can share as well called...
And we talk about a new range that my teens love.
The packaging is really fun. It looks great on the bathroom shelf. Your teenager will love it. And the price point is really affordable.
We also talk about some of the big guns, some of the prescription-only treatments.
All of these are pretty serious treatments that need consideration.
And of course, we talk about active ingredients.
You can actually cause scarring and permanent damage to the pores.
So lots to say, and as always, Dr. Sophie's skill and knowledge and experience and empathy really shines through. I hope you and any teens listening enjoy the episode. No need to grab a pen, everything we mention is on the show notes. Right, teen skin, and we have a lot to cover, Sophie, and there are, I guess, two parts to this conversation. First of all, the trend for teenagers and preteens to become interested in skincare, even though they don't need it yet, which we'll talk about, and also so-called problem skin in teens. But first of all, can we talk about these TikTok trends and young people using all kinds of actives and skincare, and even worse, sometimes injectables, when they don't need to, do they?
This makes me so sad, and it really is a byproduct of young people having access to social media and seeing influencer-driven content, which looks amazing and often uses brands, and these children want it. And it's not the brand's fault, to be honest. They're not marketing at children. They may also see mum having a skincare routine, because so many more women are nowadays looking after their skin, and think that they want to participate in that. They're then driven by the products that they're seeing these influencers using. And these influencers are often older, maybe still not old enough to be using some of these actives, and they're following this advice. And children's skin just doesn't need active ingredients. It just doesn't need it. And so by using things that are potentially irritants to the skin barrier, they're causing more skin problems, whether that's sensitization or a disrupted barrier or perioral dermatitis, or in some cases, breakouts, because compromised skin barriers and sensitized skin can also break out. Really, we have to remember that unless a child or a teenager has a skin problem, healthy teen skin really needs very little. I think it's good to start a self-care skincare routine just before they hit puberty. So maybe when we're sort of 10 or 11 and we haven't got those teenage hormones raging yet, it's quite good to encourage something, but very simple. Using a gentle cleanser morning and night, followed by a gentle hydrating moisturizer, and then in the mornings a sunscreen. And that should be all that's needed for healthy skin that doesn't have a skin condition. So I think building the habit is good, but encouraging the use of active ingredients isn't. And I've certainly heard friends of mine talking about their children wanting skincare products that might cost £60 or £70 from brands that are not targeted for children. These children do not need them, but they want them.
Yeah. So-called problem skin. And just for reference, we're going to slot Roaccutane into its own little category. So if you're here listening for information on Roaccutane, we will get there. We'll focus on skincare routines and brands and ingredients first, and then we'll move into prescription medication, including, as I say, Roaccutane. One thing I did want to ask you from a personal perspective is that all three of my kids at various points have had skin issues, which has flummoxed me a little bit, as I never went through any of that as a teen. Their dad did, admittedly. And it seems like nearly all of my kids' friends have also had or are having skin issues. Is it my imagination, or do you feel like teenagers today do have more skin issues? And do you agree with my theory that it's because everyone is simply eating more sugar?
Yeah, either way, hormones play a massive part. So this is the fundamental reason why so many teenagers develop problem skin in puberty is hormones. It's this big flux, these surges that also cause imbalances between estrogen and androgens for women and the soaring androgens in boys. None of us actually know how our skin is going to behave with these hormonal changes until we actually get there. Some teenagers get lucky, and I certainly did. I barely had a spot. And family history or genes do play a part in that, but lifestyle does undoubtedly contribute. And a high glycemic index diet, so one with a lot of sugar in it, can definitely intensify or trigger breakouts, as can things like high stress levels. So all of this comes down to cortisol, because high sugar increases cortisol levels, stress increases cortisol levels. And this is why you might find your teenager has more breakouts, for example, during exam periods. Some people also find that dairy can impact on their skin. Have a listen. We did an acne episode and we talked a bit more about dairy in that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I also wouldn't say go and chop things out of your teen's diet blindly. I would say try one thing at a time. Spots for a teenager can be massively impactful on their self-confidence. So the chances are they'll be keen to engage with you on trying to figure out how to sort this out. But I wouldn't go and cut all sugar and all dairy out straight away. I would try one or the other and work on minimizing rather than necessarily complete eradication. But on a more general level, these hormonal changes in teenagers, they mean more breakouts, clogged pores, and oiliness. All of this is due to those androgens, which increase the oil production from sebaceous glands. And then what we have is dead skin cells, which are naturally shed from the surface of the skin, that kind of stick to those oils and block the pores. And that can lead to blackheads. And also behind that clog is a perfect growth situation for bacteria, which then can lead to a spot. So really, yeah. It is many different factors, but we are definitely eating a lot more sugar than we once used to. And I do believe that does play a role.
Yeah. I guess the question is, when does a few normal teenage spots tilt over into acne?
I think it's important to say that whilst a few spots are normal, if it becomes the norm, then it needs looking at. And any skin condition that's impacting a child's self-esteem should be taken seriously. It could be that it's not just the acne or the breakouts to think about, but also the scarring that's left behind, which can become a self-esteem issue, not just in their teenage years, but well beyond that. I don't believe that persistent spots are just a normal part of teenage life. They are something that can be taken seriously, should be taken seriously. And let's face it, we've all been there, and being a teenager is hard enough without additional emotional burdens, which we can do something about. But acne itself is characterized by the presence of comedones, and these are blackheads and whiteheads, and also pus-filled spots. And the most severe type of spots that acne can cause are nodules. So nodules and cysts. So these are larger, hard lumps that are beneath the surface of the skin, and cysts are these pus-filled lumps, and they can both be quite painful. And these two types of acne lesion have the highest risk of causing severe permanent scarring. And while it usually mainly appears on the face, it can also affect the neck, the chest, and the back. So it doesn't necessarily just stop at the parts we can see.
Yeah. And as you say, it can be quite distressing. If a teenager has a few spots, but not full blown acne, can we look at some of the key ingredients and I guess a few overarching principles of teenage skincare? And again, we'll get to product recommendations as well, very shortly.
Yeah. So as I said at the top of this episode, as a teenager, the best thing you can do is to have a simple but basic routine and stick to it. So, you know, this sticking to a gentle cleanser, and then you could try things like niacinamide, which is a very gentle but skin-friendly ingredient, and zinc as a supplement is actually very good. Mm-hmm. And there's also something called Cica, C-I-C-A, which can calm down redness and inflammation. But I think niacinamide is such a good place to start if you're getting a few breakouts, because it's anti-inflammatory and it helps to reduce swelling and redness associated with breakouts. And it can also help to regulate the amount of sebum or oil being produced by the glands in the skin, which are one of the primary reasons why people get breakouts.
I have slight pinkness to my skin, and whenever I put niacinamide on, it just immediately calms. Yeah. It's almost like magic.
It's a really lovely ingredient. And zinc is a mineral that acts as an anti-inflammatory and can, again, help reduce oil production. There aren't lots of skincare products with zinc in that I personally recommend, but taking it as a supplement is a great option. Exfoliating acids may be appropriate, but we have to remember that overuse of them can cause more harm than good and can even trigger other long-term skin issues. If you're a teenager and you're listening, then exfoliating is a way of removing trapped skin cells and also potentially any excess oil. And it can also help remove any blockages within your hair follicles, so whiteheads or blackheads. If you've got just mildly spotty skin, then something like azelaic acid can be a really good choice. And azelaic acid kills the primary spot-causing bacteria, C. acnes. And it works in a relatively similar way to alpha hydroxy acids in that it can penetrate the skin and break up these acne causing blockages. But because it's quite mild, it's also good for teenage skin. You can find it in over-the-counter products at up to 10% and stronger up to 20% if you're having a prescription. Salicylic acid, which is a BHA, is a really popular ingredient for spot-prone skin. And it breaks down these dead skin cells and also has a bactericidal effect. But salicylic acid can be quite drying and irritant for the skin, so it's important to start low and build up. And so many people don't realise that breakout-prone skin can be quite sensitive. And if you overuse strong active ingredients like salicylic acid, it can cause more problems. I would say that no teenager should be blindly using retinoids. So this is retinol or prescription retinoids like tretinoin. They should only be used unless a skin expert has recommended / prescribed it. These are powerful and can really cause irritation of the skin barrier and could trigger other skin conditions. So in this situation, ignore what social media is telling you, listen to the experts. And I would also say that sometimes teens, but also not just teens, just don't realise how strong some of these ingredients and products are, and that some things just don't mix very well. Do be mindful that you're not, for example, using both a chemical exfoliator and a scrub, because that will, for most skin types, cause far too much irritation. Just think about things very carefully. And if you have problem skin or your teen has problem skin, I think seeking expert advice is a good measure.
Yeah. And as you say, people looking at things blindly on the internet and not realizing actually that product A will not go with product B. In fact, it can make things worse. What would your recommended skincare regime look like? And again, we will get to specific brands and products in the next question.
So cleansing. Teenage skin usually does a pretty good job of exfoliating itself. So this tends to slow down as we get older, but teenage skin is young and it does tend to do this well. So you shouldn't need to use a very abrasive cleanser or scrub. And these can be quite irritant and drying. And that in turn can cause more oil to be produced and pores to become more clogged. So I would suggest a gentle wash-off formula, something that's non-comedogenic. So non-comedogenic is a term that means it's not going to block pores and cause breakouts. And ingredients like glycerin or ceramides or hyaluronic acid will tend to keep that barrier hydrated. Look for water-based cleansers that have mild actives in it if you need something a little bit more. Things like salicylic up to a maximum of 2%, for example. But again, if you have that sort of cleanser, you might only want to use that once a day, not twice a day. It could be it's too much if you use it at both ends of the day. I'd also say that just like you have to teach your teenager to shave, you're going to have to show them to cleanse because they've not had to do it before. will feel weird for them. And if they say they can just use soap, tell them that soaps can really strip the barrier of the skin because they're very alkali. They have this high pH level. And maybe if your child showers, take advantage of that and the fact that they're already wet and get them cleansing in the shower. To be honest, that's what I do. I'm time poor and I'll do my cleansing in the shower. And also, unless a child is a really sweaty sleeper, the morning cleanse is much less important than the end of day cleanse.
Yeah.
And again, think about what they're doing during the day. So particularly around sports and PE. And if they're going to be sitting on a bus for an hour with a sweaty face and in sweaty clothes, try and encourage them to bring a travel-sized cleanser with them so that they can wash their face before coming home. I'm not a fan of cleansing wipes in general, but in an emergency, you could try those. But possibly a better option is a spray. You can get a face mist spray with something called hypochlorous acid in it, which is brilliant because it helps to pretty much eradicate pathogenic bacteria from the skin without disrupting the microbiome.
Great tip if they're going to festivals as well, I guess. Yeah. What about exfoliation?
You can also go for things like polyhydroxy acid. So these are PHAs and they're gentler than AHAs or BHAs. And so I often think the key to a good skincare routine is consistency. So if someone's needing to use something twice a week or every other day, it can be harder to remember to do it properly. Whereas if you use something slightly gentler, but every day, it can be easier to build that consistent routine.
Yeah. And moving into serums, which I guess serums can do lots of things for lots of different reasons, right? So if we're talking about, I guess, helping with acne or spots.
Yeah, so serums can be great for post-acne scarring. Serums are a great way of delivering those active ingredients. So if you've had spots and acne that have cleared up, you might start thinking about whether you incorporate some vitamin C in there. So that's an antioxidant that protects the skin. But it can also help to reduce any mild hyperpigmentation. But generally, I would say steer clear of that until you're out of the woods with the active breakouts. There's no point in working on the scarring until you've sorted the problem causing it. And of course, it goes without saying that teenagers don't need any anti-aging actives. But again, sometimes, especially if they're struggling with active breakouts but still need hydration, then possibly a hyaluronic acid serum can be a good option as well.
Okay, moisturiser.
So moisturisers are important, but you don't need a heavy, claggy moisturiser. And a moisturiser that's rich in lipids, which might be what you need if you're in your 40s, for example, could make a teenage skin break out more. So products that are water-based, gel moisturisers can be great, but avoid anything with oils or lipids in. If you find moisturisers that have got antioxidants like niacinamide, green tea, vitamin E, those are great. And things like squalene or colloidal oatmeal can be really good as well.
Okay. And of course, then there are spot treatments, which is something that I know my teens had as part of their regimes.
Yeah, and an occasional breakout can be treated really well with a spot treatment, something like benzoyl peroxide or a 2% salicylic acid that you just put on the little breakout itself, or even spot patches, zit stickers. Yeah.
Oh, yes, you've mentioned this before. I remember in our acne episode, as well. And SPF, which still is important, right?
Absolutely. And you know, one of the joys of being a teen is that feeling of immortality that comes at that age. Yeah. And so they don't really think about the impact of tanning or burning. But sun damage is cumulative. And the more you get in childhood, the more evidence you'll see of it later in life. And also the higher your skin cancer risk. And UV doesn't only damage the skin, but it can also cause other problems like enlarged pores, post-acne hyperpigmentation, and it can also trigger other inflammatory skin conditions like rosacea. It's an important step to get into the habit of, but they need to remember that they don't need to use it at night. I think one of my favourites for teens, because it's such an easy product, is the HelioCare 360 Gel Oil Free. It's mattifying, it absorbs really quickly, and it just doesn't feel sticky at all on the skin.
Yeah, I've heard great things about that one.
And I guess finally, if you're investing in a skincare range for your teenager, even if they've been complaining about their skin, don't be surprised if you have to remind them to use the products and to be consistent, diligent and patient.
Yeah.
We all know that teenage brains work slightly differently than an adult brain. And for example, they might go to a party or a festival and just drop their skincare routine. And then they go on holiday with their friends and forget the products or lend them out and don't get them back.
Yeah.
They may also be really disciplined and then get fed up of wondering why 2 weeks in their skin hasn't changed. So be encouraging. Tell them it can definitely improve, but it's not going to be an overnight fix. And just encourage them, without it feeling like nagging, to stay consistent and patient. And I also think it's worth mentioning makeup, because it can be such a vicious circle. Problem skin really doesn't need loads and loads and loads of thick, heavy foundation. But of course, sometimes that's the only thing that enables a teenager to feel good about themselves when they've covered those spots up. And of course, I really do support that. And there are also some brilliant makeups out there that are for boys as well. So it's not just women wearing makeup anymore. But when it comes to choosing concealer and foundation, just like with skincare, stick to those non-comedogenic oil-free formulas. There's a brilliant brand that I can share as well called Oxygenetics, and they have an acne control foundation. So there are really good options that aren't going to cause your skin more problems.
Okay, thank you. And we'll put all of this in the show notes, as we always do. And in terms of this regime that we've gone over and these ingredients, would this all be the same if we were dealing with a preteen?
Do you know, it's such a tricky thing nowadays, because we have evidence that children, especially girls, are going through puberty younger and younger. And I certainly hear this from my friends with preteens, that their daughters are starting to show signs of puberty 8-9 years old. But as a rule, preteen skin, if it's not yet under the impact of hormones, is usually at its softest and its clearest. And so all you should have to do is keep the skin clean and well hydrated. If your preteen is having skin issues, and by this I mean anyone 12 or under, seek specialist advice, because it could be there's an underlying issue. Or as I say, it could just be this phenomenon that people are seeing, that girls are just starting puberty younger. And one of the theories is that it's to do with hormones from oral contraceptives in drinking water.
Yes, I've heard that.
If your preteen does want to get into a routine, then exactly what I recommended at the start of the episode, sticking to a very gentle cleanser and a very light moisturiser, even one with a built-in sunscreen for the mornings. And then you're building that good habit at a time where they're keen and they're compliant, which they might not be once those hormones hit properly.
Okay. And anything to avoid?
Yeah, literally anything like skin peels, oils, masks, physical exfoliators like scrubs. They just don't need them yet.
Going back to teenage skin and brands, what brands and products would you recommend?
I'm going to stick with budget-friendly options, because there is no need to spend a lot of money on teenage skincare. There are some amazing higher range products for acne and rosacea, for example, but most teenagers won't have the budget for some of those, and they don't necessarily need them, because there are great products available for a lot less money. And your teenager might go to that party or that holiday and leave them or lend them to their friends. And so I wouldn't say putting money into this, unless it's under expert guidance, is the right thing to do. I'm a big fan of Bioma skincare. It's been hugely hyped, but for good reason. The founder started developing Bioma in 2020, and really the whole range focuses on a healthy boosted skin barrier. The products all center around repairing, reinforcing and shielding the skin's barrier, which can become compromised if you're using too many products or active ingredients. And I would say the packaging is really fun. It looks great on the bathroom shelf. Your teenager will love it. And the price point is really affordable. But I also like that you find the ingredients are easy to read and easy to spot. And it will also tell you what that ingredient's purpose is.
Yeah.
So that's one of my real go-tos. There's another relatively new brand called Indu, and this is a dedicated teen beauty brand, and it has skincare, makeup, and also hybrids of both. And there's some really big names that have backed it. So the former president of Estee Lauder, a teenage psychologist, and the founder of Elemis. So maybe more impressively, all of the products are conceived, formulated, and tested with a committee of 13 to 17 year olds. So from various skin tones, genders, and ethnic backgrounds. I think that's really interesting. And because it has that level of corporate backing, they should have a fairly generous budget, which I hope gets invested in research and product development. So definitely worth a look. I've heard quite good things about their clarifying gel cleanser, which has a prebiotic in it called inulin, which is brilliant for helping to maintain a microbiome. Another one, Sam Farma Skincare, which is one that I've not had personal experience with, but have seen name checked quite a lot. CeraVe is another one. I can't go far without mentioning CeraVe, a brilliant price point again. And last but not least, the La Roche-Posay Effaclar range, which is really easy to use, great price point, loved by skin experts and dermatologists, and widely available. In fact, CeraVe, Bioma, and La Roche-Posay are all stocked on the high street in Boots.
Yeah, and I think they're on my teenager shelves. Apart from the brand new one that you mentioned, Indu, I think my teens have gone through all of those brands. And as you say, they've been name-checked by so many dermatologists and beauty journals as well. So it's a good sign. Now, it's no secret that if a parent took their child, and we're talking about here in the UK, to a GP for a dermatology referral, the waiting list is likely to be months. When I took my older daughter, they said it could be over a year. So realistically, a lot of parents will look to the private sector, but is there anything that a GP can diagnose and prescribe without waiting for a derm appointment? And if so, what can a GP in the UK prescribe? What might that look like?
A GP can prescribe antibiotics, so something like limacycline, and these are taken for 3 to 6 months. They could also prescribe a topical antibiotic, so in a cream or lotion form. But we also have to remember that when taken as a tablet, they can disrupt the gut microbiome, or they will disrupt the gut microbiome. So you need to weigh up the risks and benefits of that. It's also important to remember that antibiotics will tend to work better if they're also combined with a topical approach. So it's not just about killing off the bacteria. It's about addressing why the skin became unbalanced in the first place. So those prescription ingredients might include azelaic acid or benzoyl peroxide. They may also prescribe something called adapalene, which is a really strong form of vitamin A. It's very potent, and you can go through a lot of dryness and redness because it's essentially designed to really exfoliate, increase cell turnover, unblock some of those follicles and dissolve blackheads. And if you're using that, you must wear a good sunblock. Some GPs might encourage girls to go onto the oral contraceptive pill. So there's a couple of pills, Dianet and Yasmin tend to be quite popular ones. And of course, that's a very personal decision. And it can be a real game changer for a lot of girls, but it's something that does need to be thought carefully about. So all of these are pretty serious treatments that need consideration. You may also find that within the primary care GP setting, you are fortunate enough to have a GP with a special interest in dermatology. And we'll come on to Roaccutane in a moment, but some GPs are able to prescribe that if they have that special interest.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's talk about Roaccutane. What is it? Why has it had controversy? We should talk about that. You've kind of touched on whether or not a GP can prescribe it. Most can't, but some might be able to. And I guess, what are your thoughts on Roaccutane in general?
Roaccutane is a brand name for a drug called isotretinoin, which is a form of vitamin A. It comes in a capsule or tablet form, and you take it once or twice a day, usually for a relatively prolonged period of several months. And it can be really effective, in fact, life-changing. But it does have quite significant side effects and should or can only be taken under the supervision of a specialist, because you will need blood testing, for example. There's lots that goes with this. So it works in two key ways. It reduces the amount of oil or sebum that your sebaceous glands produce, and it also kills the bacteria on the skin that can cause these infections in the plugged follicles. It's also thought it can have anti-inflammatory properties, so that can mean it reduces the redness and swelling in the skin. Now, pregnant and breastfeeding women have to avoid it altogether, as it can be harmful to the child and there is an increased risk of miscarriage. And whilst taking it, a woman, whether that's a teenage girl or an older woman, will have to take precautions to prevent pregnancy. Mm. So that's something that the doctors will insist on. If you take it as directed, your skin should start to improve pretty quickly, often after about a week, 10 days. And before that, you might find that your acne symptoms actually get very temporarily slightly worse. So patience, again, is important, as is persistence. But mm-hmm. after finishing the treatment, most people's skin is completely clear, at least for a period of time. For some people, that's forever. For some people, it's a period of months. For others, it's years. But Roaccutane does have side effects. And the most common thing is that literally everything goes dry. Your skin will go dry, your lips will go dry, and you'll be very sensitive to sunlight. So you will need to avoid treatments that could irritate the skin, like waxing or microdermabrasion. Dry eyes, your throat can be dry. You can get nosebleeds because your nose is dry.
I remember this with my daughter, everything, her lips especially.
Yeah, it can be really quite dramatic. You think you know what dry lips are, but actually until you've been on Roaccutane, you probably don't. Some of the controversy that you hinted at came from the fact that in some very rare cases, Roaccutane was linked to mental health issues and severe mood changes. And particularly this link was expressed in boys. But actually, the way that Roaccutane is used nowadays tends to be much more gently, and the risks are often outweighed by the benefit. Again, there is a reason these medications are only prescribed in expert hands, because they can have a lot of side effects and they need a lot of monitoring. If your GP doesn't have this special interest in dermatology and you need to be referred on to a dermatologist, it can take a long time, unfortunately, to wait to be seen, because there is a shortage of NHS dermatologists nowadays. So many parents do tend to take their teenagers to see a private dermatologist, and of course, that does come with fees attached. The protocol is that you're prescribed based on your weight as much as on your skin and the severity of the breakouts. You're not supposed to drink any alcohol while you're on it. And some people do have multiple courses of Roaccutane throughout their lifetime.
Okay, thank you for clearing all of that up. It brings back so many memories of Darcy, my older daughter, going on Roaccutane. And she went on two courses, actually, and it did change things for her, although she still is on that journey of struggle with her skin. So skincare, all of those things are what I'm reminding her of, and lack of sugar as well. That's the one thing that she's struggling with. Any final tips?
It can be so tempting to squeeze, but don't. If you do that, you can push the pus and the bacteria deeper into the skin, and you can actually cause scarring and permanent damage to the pores. And this can increase your risk of infections and also damage to the skin in a way that the scar can persist for a lot longer. And when it comes to blackheads, instead of picking them, there are devices specifically designed to remove blackheads. But again, I would say, see a specialist, have extraction facials, whether that's using a device like a hydrofacial or just having them properly look at your skin and extract what they can. Hydrate a lot, drink lots and lots of water, avoiding sugar, and making sure that you have good gut health. So if you're a teenager and you're listening and probiotics are too expensive an investment for you or for your parents, then you can also think about doing things like taking a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in water. Drink it through a straw because you don't want to damage your teeth. And make sure you get one with the cloudy bit at the bottom, because that's called the mother. And it's inexpensive and can help some people and can last for weeks, if not months, from one bottle. Regularly changing your bed linen, really important. So bearing in mind you're sleeping with your skin against that pillow, and the buildup of dirt and oil from your face goes onto that pillow every night, and then you're transferring it back onto your face the next night. And for parents who are sitting on the fence and thinking this will pass, please take it seriously. Acne breakouts are not just unpleasant for a teen in the moment, but they can leave scarring. And that can be something that has lifelong consequences in terms of their confidence. So seek advice and seek medical help early.
I have a feeling that this episode is going to be shared by so many parents to their teens, and maybe some teens to their parents as well, saying, please buy me some skincare. Dr. Sophie, thank you so much.
Thank you as ever, Fee.
that ends our podcast. If you want to explore more of what we talked about, simply head to the show notes. We've done all of the research and noting down of names, ideas, any studies we mentioned, so you don't have to go digging. To be ahead of the latest episode, press follow on Apple Podcasts. That's the little cross on the top right. Or simply hit follow on Spotify or whichever podcast app you use. Also, do follow Sophie on Instagram and TikTok. There's loads of great content and little explainers on there. Search for Dr. Sophie Schotter. Finally, if you're close to London or Kent, you can book a consultation with Sophie and find out more about who she is and the range of treatments and services she offers via drsophieschotter.com. And by the way, there's some great blog content on the website too. My name's Fiona Mattesini. On behalf of myself and Sophie, please do take a moment to rate and review the show. It all helps. And of course, thanks for listening.